for hanging in there with us, everybody. I'd like to have you check us out where, Ava?
Facebook.
And thevalleyoutdoors.com. Lots of cool stuff to find there if you're looking for somewhere to go, something to do. You know, people to see, people to do. I don't know. Whatever that is. Things to do. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. But
We're going to leave it in.
We're just going to have it in. We have tons of things you can do in the Midwest, but this is all over the country. No matter where you want to go, you're going to be able to pull up the map. Interactivity is literally at its finest. It really is pretty cool. Click on the state, and then it takes you to their DNR website, and you can see everything you need to know about limits and seasons and everything else. So pretty darn cool. Hey, Ava, it was a while back. I think we talked about what was going on with the moose population, the elk population. It was, you know, we had some, like, what in the world is going on? And there was some questions coming from the Minnesota DNR as to what was happening with the population. And just have a recent study coming out of St. Paul, Minnesota. The most recent moose population estimate now is around 4,500 moose, according to the DNR's 2026 population survey. It's up 10% from last year, with only 4,000 some animals. It's weird because the results we talked about before, last year we talked about the sharp decline from about 8,000 in 2009, and it appeared to be they're leveling, and I would say it's a positive trend to be up 500 and some animals in this particular case, despite the recent estimates suggesting relative stability in the population and reproductive success. Researchers point out Minnesota moose do remain at risk. Climate change, parasites, habitat loss, and predator impacts on calf survival all play in the long-term survival of the moose. So I think that's good news. We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a good thing. So I'm going to stay on the positive track. I like this proposal in Michigan. So you folks in Michigan got some smart people. I like it a lot. The Michigan veterans with service-connected disability could receive free or discounted lifetime hunting and fishing licenses under legislation recently introduced in both chambers of the state legislature. The bills would be creating a tiered structure for lifetime licenses that aligns with the severity of the veteran's disability, ranging from no cost to $100 for veterans rated 30 to 49% disabled. This bill is a meaningful way to recognize extraordinary sacrifice made by Michigan disabled veterans, and that comes from Senator Thomas Albert from Lowell and the U.S. Marine Corps veteran and sponsor of the state Bill 821. So the legislation is mirrored in Bill 5687. Not that that matters. Representative Steve Frisbee, how would you like to have that for a last name?
Frisbee?
Just throw the guy around a little bit. There you go. Both were introduced in March 5th. And got sent to the House Committee on Natural Resources and Tourism, and it is on to the Senate Committee on Appropriations. The bills expand an existing state law to provide free annual hunting licenses to 100% disabled veterans, offering both free lifetime hunting and fishing licenses to them. Lifetime licenses for veterans 70 to 99% would be disabled would be $50. Veterans 50 to 69 disabled could purchase licenses for $75. That's pretty cool.
Dude, I'm digging all this good news.
I know. I'm trying to be positive here. It's working. So this is what I think is an important piece of it, where the rest of the Midwest, but I'll say the country, and we don't often see every detail that they have coming out, but the key here, this is a big thing that the statement says, we want as many people engaging in the outdoors and fishing as possible. Exactly. I like it. And that's, what are you going to say? You know? Gretchen Whitmer proposed a fiscal year 2027 budget includes $30 million in annual additional revenue for the DNR through license fee hikes, which some from the House including Matt Hall, they vowed to oppose that funding request. Comes into a broader $88 billion budget requested that relies on $800 million in new and increased taxes and $400 million from the state's rainy day fund to help cover a projected $1.8 billion revenue shortfall. Maybe you should send Nick Shirley over there. Proposed tier discounts for lifetime licenses would create a unique approach among Great Lake states. In Wisconsin, here we go, with veterans with 50% or greater service-connected disability or those deemed unemployable or eligible for a $7 annual disabled veteran recreation card, covers fishing, small game, and state park and trail admissions. Wisconsin veterans with 70% or higher qualify for free annual fishing licenses. Indiana, they do the same type of thing. Service-connected disabilities, their license for hunting and fishing is $2.75 or $27.50 for a 10-year license. How about that?
Heck, that's what you should do.
Illinois offers free hunting and privileges for hunting and fishing for veterans with a 10% service-connected disability. At least both resident and non-resident meet the threshold exempt from purchasing hunting, fishing licenses, as well as habitat stamps. And Ohio provides free five-year hunting, fishing licenses for resident veterans who are 100% disabled and or totally disabled or former prisoners of war. Licenses cover hunting, fishing, fur taker permits, as well as permits for wild deer, wild turkey deer, and wetland habitat. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
I like it. I like it a lot. And now I delve into the, oh boy, that would not be good time of the program.
Gotta have at least one story, right?
I came across this story because there's enough detail here to paint a really scary picture. A woman recounts a horrific brown bear attack and her long road to recovery. Just several months after moving to Kenai, Alaska, Arian Colton, a mother of three, survived a shocking animal attack before heading to work as a medical assistant. Last fall, Colton woke up, checked her watch, headed outside to go for a jog, and her memory went black. I started the workout at 5:20 in the morning, same time as my neighbor's camera picked up motion, likely a bear. Now, 5:20 she left. 5:24, I pushed the start of my run setting on my watch. At 5:24, you can hear two loud screams on my neighbor's camera. Colton was a victim of a rare predatory brown bear attack in a residential area within the town city limits. Nearly killed her. Wildlife trooper David Loring told it that the attacking bear dragged her 100 yards down the road and into a neighbor's property.
My goodness.
And that neighbor heard barking and the wolfing sound of a bear, but didn't think anything of it. They went out to look around. Once it got light out, found Colton in the front yard at 6:30, brutally wounded. Her face took most of the damage.
Ugh.
I don't know if it was like... It was like a hit, and then I went to the ground and was knocked out.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, if she was knocked out, that's what saved her because she was lifeless. She wasn't trying to fight. Because a lot of times that's what ends up happening. The bear left the scene. She was airlifted to Anchorage, put in ICU. Significant injuries, cut in her face, under her nose, her left eye, her hairline, cut down the back of her head, another one in her right arm, road rash, internal damage as well. She broke four T-bones in her back, her jaw, several ribs, scapula, her right thumb. She lost the use of her left eye, and after her first surgery, things were looking bleak. I had a huge brain contusion. They were worried they weren't going to wake up. And fortunately, the swelling responded to the medication. She reacted after 5 days and faced a long road to recovery. Going through trauma is a lot. Sometimes people don't have the courage to just get up and move on and be able to process it. I want people to know that there is hope and positivity after trauma. The bear dragged me hundreds of yards. So my family theme has been the 101st yard for how you react and what you do after
all the hard things
you go through. Ugh, yikes. Well, More power to her.
No kidding.
That that's just and she feels a lot better now that when she walks outside, the bears are hibernating. I won't argue with that one bit. All right. So the one thing I highlighted at the top of the show, we talked about a vertical bow, right? Well, the vertical bow, question mark, is for turkeys, it's question mark. And this was in Outdoor News talking to Rob Driesline, one of the subscribers called him and talked about rules for turkey hunters using archery equipment, which I've seen done before. I spoke to someone at the DNR who said turkey hunter could only use a firearm or a crossbow with their regular turkey license and that the so-called vertical bows could only be used with regular turkey archery license. So a vertical bow is a normal bow. Crossbow is a crossbow. I don't know why they call it a vertical bow. It's just, it's a bow. Given that an archery license runs all season, this is in Minnesota. It didn't strike me as a huge deal, but in this case, the reader made a solid case. He might decide to switch from a firearms to compound on the fly. So just all of a sudden, I'm going to go hunt the same area. Why couldn't you use the same primitive tool under a regular license? He's right. It didn't seem like an unnecessary complication. We found the DNR site, and it validated that above. Surprised, and it was seeking an explanation. He called the DNR, and Upland Bird Consultant referred him to page 45. The hunters who purchase a firearm license may also use crossbows or vertical bows, but may only hunt during the selected time period or the final time period. That makes sense. And allows hunter to use a more primitive weapon if they choose. He told him the website is incorrect. However, the regulation book is correct. I will put this particular person's going to, from the DNR, is putting in a request to have the website changed. Bottom line, if you want to use a compound, recurve, longbow, or crossbow for turkey under your regular spring license, you are legal in Minnesota for that. So that's pretty cool, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I like it. I think, you know, there's too much that gets complicated. I mean, oh, no, you can't do this except every third Wednesday of the month. And, the sun's out, you can't do that. If it's a partly cloudy day, then you can. And if it's leap year, then you can do it as well.
Yeah, they don't really set you up for success when there's
all
those regulations. But that just keep changing, too.
No. Story that's out of the Minnesota DNR Fisheries Department. They're proposing to reduce the statewide walleye bag limit from 6 to 4. And the public comment period ended on the 5th of March. And they tallied 1,500 total comments. The totals laid out as such. 53% of the comments supported the limit change. 32% were opposed, and the 15 remaining were neutral, or they were commenting on something irrelevant to the limit. They're relatively consistent. I really don't want to know what that would be. But the tallies are fairly consistent with past surveys of the fishing public. From 2021 to 2023, there's 4,000 DNR on-the-water interviews with anglers to show that 67% supported the reduction, 18% opposed, and 15 were neutral. And statewide angler survey randomly selected licensed buyers, and it's the same thing. You know, majority of people wanted to do that. Given the results, DNR plans to move forward with the process of implementing a 4-fish statewide limit. That probably will not take effect until March of 2027. However, they still have to take the matter before an administrative law judge for a hearing. For that hearing to occur, 50 folks during the public comment period had to request one, and they said they had well more than that to do that. So that was, I will just leave it at that's an interesting thing that's going to happen. Lots of comments that came out on two rods versus having one. And I think, in my opinion, if you're going to go to four, I don't see any reason why you would not have the Minnesota have the ability to buy an extra rod limit, or now you could have two instead of one. I know on border waters, obviously you can run two rods. That's one of the laws. It's kind of like what's happening in the state of Michigan right now with Lake Michigan. They said it can have an unlimited rod license that you can put on a boat. Of course, there's a certain point when it doesn't help, it only hinders. But if the state's got a shortfall, oh, that's right. Yep, they do. Why would you not have that as an option for a additional revenue source?
What does it normally cost for an extra rod?
Doesn't.
License.
There isn't one. There isn't one. They don't. There's nothing like that out there. Wisconsin's two rods for the most part. There's some lake. Obviously, it's lake by lake. But to me, it's, you know, in Lake Michigan, it's three rods per person right now. So, and it's trolling. And most of the time when you're dealing with it, you're not casting for fish. You're not doing two rods when you're using forward-facing sonar. It's one rod. So realistically, the only reason you're doing two rods for the most part is trolling of some type, and that's it. It's absolutely senseless to me why we can't figure out other ways of having revenue that goes directly into the fishing budget. I've been talking with Ron Shera with Men Fish. They're actually not going to say plus or minus either way to that, because they need more things around the limit change besides just a limit change. There has to be stocking. There has to be a lot of other things that are going to help make the reduction in limit beneficial to the fishery itself and have it positively impact it. And that's the challenge I have with it. We have to figure out a way to raise money. We have to figure out a way to make that work. And I think that's one of them. Our fisheries are in serious bad health, and I think this is one way to do it. I don't understand why. Maybe I'm just going to take that up as a platform, and I'll just go for it.
I dig it.
Well, tell you what, that's a wrap for us. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us for this last half hour of the Valley Outdoors. Ava, good to have you with us. Enjoy the outdoors. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.